Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, did you know that you can listen to the latest Mr. Media show right on your phone with the Stitcher app? Stitcher is smart radio for your smartphone. Mr. Media is on demand and on the go with Stitcher. Download Stitcher for your phone today. Get the free app at www.stitcher.com. That's STITCHER.com.
The following is an encore presentation of the June 25, 2009 special edition of Mr. Media Radio, Michael Jackson Remembered.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media show I never expected to host. A live two-hour remembrance of pop star Michael Jackson, who died earlier today at the age of 50. During the next 2 hours, I'll be taking calls from a number of Blog Talk Radio's best-known hosts, as well as a few friends I've invited to call in and share their thoughts and memories of Michael. These include Kevin Ross in Los Angeles, Mother, host of Mother Knows in Philadelphia, Sean Daly in Las Vegas, and also in Vegas, Mark Piokos, host of Somewhere in Vegas. I'll also be sharing some of my favorite songs by Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, and the Jacksons. First, here's a song by Michael Jackson and Mick Jagger that seems most appropriate for today.
Thank you. You got me in a state of shock. Look at that. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, look at me.
I got to tell you, I'm going to bring my friend Eric Deggans from the St. Petersburg Times on in just a moment. I got to tell you, this morning I was at the airport, or I guess it was this afternoon, we dropped my daughter put on a plane to go see Grandma, and while I was out of the gate, my wife was back in the terminal, and she sent me an image from her iPod Touch of the announcement that Farrah Fawcett had died, and I thought that was going to be something we'd be all talking about all day today, and I'm as shocked as anyone that here we are about to engage in a dialogue about Michael Jackson. If that's not a state of shock, I don't know what is. Now, Eric Deggans is the TV and media critic for the St. Petersburg Times and an old friend of mine, an old friend of the Mr. Media Show. He's been on a couple times. He also produces the blog The Feed at TampaBay.com and is a frequent guest on CNN and some of the broadcast networks on the Sunday morning talk shows on issues of media. Eric, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I appreciate you making time. And I want to point out also, you are, like Michael, like his brothers and his sisters, a native of Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of odd, the similarities I have with Michael. You know, he's 50 and I'll be turning 44 this year. I grew up probably about 8 blocks from where the Jackson family home was on 2300 Jackson Street in Gary, Indiana. We knew a lot of the same people growing up. I never really met him. They had kind of left Gary by the time I was old enough to get to know anybody or get to know them. But certainly I knew of them. He obviously was involved with Berry Gordy and Motown, and I was in a band that was signed to Motown in the 80s. I've been a pop music critic and have written a lot about Michael and his various travails over the years. So it's been an odd sort of I feel like I've been walking this way to his life for a long time.
Can we, Eric, separate the artist from the man? I mean, there's certainly the artist up into the early 90s. Was, you know, on top of the world. And then, you know, for the last 10 or 15 years, it seems like we've been dealing with Michael Jackson, the boy turned man who didn't want to become a man, really, just wanted to stay a boy, and he's had a lot of issues. At a time like this, should we separate the two, or do we just remember the good stuff?
What's interesting is that if you watch cable news, you can see in real time that question play itself out, because in one breath, you have these people who are show busy friends of Michael's, you know, Larry King and, folks like that, sort of lauding his accomplishments. And then on the other hand, you have journalists and critics and even legal people sort of pointing out the very real and very troubled life that he led up till now. And even as crowds were gathering in Los Angeles to kind of pay tribute to him, there was a statement from the Jackson family spokesman saying that they felt that he had surrounded himself with people that weren't healthy for him and that he may have abused prescription drugs, and that may have been a part of his death. So he's always wrapped these things up. He's always been the singular artist, this very talented performer, this amazing figure in pop culture and in pop music, who also has always had this really strange interior life, who's always been a little arrested in development. You know, when he was a child, the question was, did he have a normal childhood? Even when he did, that ballad Ben, when he was a teenager, essentially to a rat. I mean, even back then, people talked about how odd his personal life seemed to be. And I think one of the things that's odd about sort of modern celebrity is that we we ask our celebrities to sort of embody, we want them to be the image that they are as a performer throughout all every facet of their life. So when Britney Spears goes off the deep end or does something awful, you know, that makes us not want to listen to her music. And mm-hmm. and I do think that as we sort of talk about Michael Jackson and his place in the pantheon, we have to very deliberately look at his music and what he did as an artist, and then we also have to look at his personal life and the choices that he made, because those two things are separate, and one is a story of great achievement, and another is a story of great confusion, great corruption, great trouble, and ultimately death.
Can we feel good about ourselves if we focus today and in the next couple of days on just wanting to remember the music, the Michael Jackson and the Jacksons, the Jackson 5 music that we liked, and set aside for a little while all of his problems and issues as a human being? Is that wrong?
I just think it's very hard to talk about what he meant to pop culture history without talking about the fact that he was such an odd figure. You know, as I said, you know, he does this love song to a rat, you know, when he's you know, a teenager, and then, you know, his face starts to change, and all of a sudden he starts wearing these odd things, you know, the tape around the hands, and you know all of that craziness, and then, you know, Neverland Ranch, and then, you know, he throws all these parties for kids, and you know his impact on pop culture, because we view our celebrities as this image that we expect them to have in real life and as a performer, you know, his impact kind of resonated. So I don't know. I mean, as much as we want to just remember the good stuff, which is what happens when somebody dies, I don't think you really take his full measure as an artist without accounting for all that extra stuff. You gotta talk about it, because it's part and parcel. You know, it's why everybody was talking about Michael Jackson, not just that he was this amazing performer, but he was this amazing performer who never, at the height of his powers, he never seemed to have a girlfriend. He never seemed to have a family outside of the family that he was raised with. You know, he didn't seem to do the normal things that you expect, somebody in their 20s who has more money than God do.
Mm.
You know, and then when he finally did start a family, it was really odd. I mean, you know, first he's involved with Lisa Marie Presley, and then he gets these babies done by in vitro, born by a woman who was some sort of worker in a doctor's office that he went to. Even recounting it now, it just sounds really bizarre. But all of that is Michael Jackson's impact on pop culture and Michael Jackson's impact on the world. And to try to only talk about one without the other, I think, is to do neither one justice.
I want to remind everybody that you're listening to a live two-hour program, Michael Jackson Remembered, on this is on Mr. Media Radio, and we're welcoming your calls. We've got the web chat going. You're welcome to join us there. And right now, I'm talking to Eric Deggans of the St. Petersburg Times, who is a native of Gary, Indiana. I want to ask you about that. Obviously you're not there today, so you can't tell me for today. But in general, over the years, how are the Jacksons viewed in terms of Gary? Are they considered sacred? Are they, you know, people just hold them up pretty high?
Imagine, you know, that you have a sibling or you have a child that goes on to do great things and they never visit you. or they rarely pay attention to you. And when it happens, it seems to happen grudgingly. I think Gary has a real love-hate relationship with the Jacksons. Gary loves the fact that the Jacksons started there and came from there. And people of a certain age, everybody's got a story about, you know, seeing them play in a club live or seeing them in the big, you know, we used to have a big parade through the town. And there was a legendary occasion where Dinah Ross and Berry Gordy, who were, you know, kind of involved with each other on the sly back then, came to Gary and and supposedly Diana Ross, you know, discovered the Jacksons and got Berry Gordy to pay attention to them during that trip. You know, so everybody of a certain age sort of has stories like that. But when they left, they went to L.A. When they started to have some success and they got signed to Motown, and they really didn't pay a lot of attention to Gary. You know, Gary, after they left, went through some really hard times. The steel mills downsized tremendously from 30,000 jobs to 3,000, and crack hit Gary in the 80s and just decimated the city. And, you know, even now, parts of it look like a bomb went off. I mean, there's so many abandoned buildings, so many razed buildings, so many empty lots. And the Jacksons didn't really do a whole lot to reach back or help the city or anything like that. I remember during the sort of the height of Michael mania in the late 80s, there was some hope that he would visit the city, you know, everybody could celebrate, you know, how great Michael was, and he was finally coming back to Gary. And what eventually ended up happening was that, like, Marlon and Randy and, you know, some of the Jacksons that people don't care that much about came to Gary in an armored car.
Really?
And so the message that sent, that, you know, the Jacksons are coming that are not that famous, and they're so scared for their safety that they are coming in an armored car, you know, was just, I mean, it really was a slap in the face to the city. So, like I said, there's been a real love-hate relationship with the Jacksons, and I'm sure folks in Gary are very, I have calls into friends and family, and I'm going to start getting reports probably later tonight and tomorrow to find out how people are reacting there, but I'm sure people are sad, I'm sure people identify with Michael, but behind that is a real sense that he kind of abandoned the city and the family kind of abandoned the city. You know, at a time really when they could have used the attention and the help of an international superstar.
Hmm. Well, Eric, I've got a number of BTR hosts who are dying to get on and join the conversation, but I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go, and I know you've had a long day already, and we won't get into that, but, you know, I know you've had your own loss to deal with besides all this.
Sure.
Do you have a favorite song or a favorite Michael Jackson moment? Or both?
Well, my favorite Michael Jackson moment is the time on the Motown special, the classic Motown special, where he did Billie Jean and did the classic moonwalk and had the Fred Astaire sort of fedora and all those things that we identify that we know as Michael Jackson, you know, accoutrement. He brought that all together in one amazing performance that was actually a tribute to Motown. And he performed with the Jackson 5, and then they kind of left the stage, and he had the stage to himself. And he proved in that moment that he was this superstar that kind of transcended anything that anybody was doing at that moment. So that would be the visual moment for me. You know, the thing about Michael is I always felt that people conflated his image with his artistic output, and he would put out these records that would have really great songs on them, and people would just overlook them, especially later in his career, because you know, the whole record wouldn't be great, but there, you know, half the record would be interesting stuff, and people would just shrug it off because he was so strange personally. And if you want to know a song of his that is just totally unlike what anybody is going to play in all of these tributes, he did this great song on Invincible, one of his last records, called 2,000 Watts. And it's a kicking dance number. It's amazing. Hmm. And the way he recorded the vocal was that he sped up the track and recorded his vocal at a high speed. So when the vocal was played back, it was much lower. And you can't even tell that it's Michael Jackson. But it's an amazing dance track. And I think if people really would have recognized his voice, it would have been a huge hit, but it never was. So 2,000 Watts is going to be my song because it's a song that nobody else will play.
Well, Eric, you know, you're a good friend, especially this late at night here on the East Coast, and I really appreciate your time, and always good to talk to you. Thank you very much for being with us tonight.
No problem at all. I just hope people check out the feed. You know, I'm going to have some stuff on there about how media has been covering Michael. I'm going to have an essay sort of crystallizing some of the stuff I've said about Michael and Gary and my history. And, you know, I'm even going to be on NPR's Tell Me More tomorrow to talk a little bit more about these subjects that we've been going over, because this is something we're all going to be talking about for quite a while, I think.
All right. You want to give the URL for that? I know it's tampabay.com.
Yeah, it's well, actually, it's blogs.tampabay.com/media.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Well, my friend, good to talk to you, and we'll look forward to talking again.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Eric. That's Eric Deggins from the St. Petersburg Times. Thanks very much for calling in. I'm going to go now to one of our hosts here, Kevin Ross. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Oh, Bob, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Pleasure is all ours. Tell folks about your show and where they can hear it.
Absolutely. Normally I do my show. It's the Kevin Ross Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's normally held on Wednesdays. And then I do a show with David McLaughlin called Game On with Ross and McLaughlin that we will sometimes do on Tuesdays. Actually, we do it pretty frequently. But I'm doing a special Kevin Ross show tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, to talk about what we're dealing with right now. And I got to tell you, Bob, I'm so glad that you have the chat room open, because I don't know to what extent you're paying attention, but we've got many of the folks here. It looks like you've got about at least 40 people in the chat room right now, and I always like to give a shout out to the folks there. And, you know, you've got Sergeant 1961 saying, well, you know, he was a molester. And then other people are saying, well, why are you going to talk about that? And, you know, the man hasn't even been dead for 24 hours. You know, what I find fascinating is that we can have this conversation. Mm-hmm. We can have the conversation and talk about the song Remember the Time and Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and PYT. And then we can also deal with the human aspect of this man that clearly had some challenges. But it doesn't take away from just his incredible talent and the gift that he left to the world.
I agree. I mean, I have mixed emotions about some of this. You know, when I was asked to do this tonight, I really had to kind of steel myself a little bit because I wasn't sure how I felt about it.
I'm numb. I'm completely it just feels so surreal. I was a big fan back in the day of Charlie's Angels and Farrah Fawcett. Bob, I got to tell you that that Cobra vehicle, that white Mustang with the blue stripe that she drove around, I said when I got older I was going to get that car, and every time I saw Farrah Fawcett, I was like, wow. So I was already in Farrah mode in terms of mourning and really reflecting on what that meant for my childhood. And in fact, I'm on Facebook, and a few of us started talking about, well, who was your favorite back in the day? And because I'm African-American, you know, some of my Facebook friends who were black were like, well, who were some of the black icons? And, you know, so people were having discussions about Ginger and Marianne. So Farrah was really, you know, getting all of our focus. And so to get whammed with Michael Jackson, it's too much. I can't even begin to describe just the incredible feeling of loss. And at the same time, a certain, bittersweetness that comes about, because there were so many issues that he was dealing with, and you wanted to see him make that one last comeback, and it just looks like it wasn't meant to be.
It's a strange day. It's a very strange day. Now, will you? I'll ask you what I asked Eric Deggins. Did you have a favorite Michael moment or event or a favorite song?
Well, you know, I remember the Thriller album, and I remember being in a club in college, and when they would play Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, the floor would just, you know, like locusts. Folks would, just, you know, right in, and people were just grooving hard to that song. And it's interesting because I'm out here in Los Angeles, and I went out to Hollywood to a Laker party because, you know, I was down with the Lakers, and Magic Johnson was putting this party on in Hollywood. So I said, okay, I'll be there. And I made this really interesting observation that the young people there, they weren't really engaging, even though the music was pumping. And I was like, you know, why is it that men don't really ask women to dance anymore? It's more like if they see a woman dancing, they just kind of start dancing with her, and if she's cool with it, they keep going. But if not, that's it. And I was like, because, you know, back in the day when I was in school, a good song would come on, and it just, and even then I was thinking, you know, you get Michael Jackson comes on, and people in his generation, and you couldn't pull people off the floor. And so that's my memory of Michael, that he was someone who really gave a lot of people some great moments in their journey where they just partied hard, and it was upbeat and fun, and he was so innovative in terms of the music videos. And, you know, you didn't see black folks in music videos on MTV, so many of us were relegated to BET, where, you know, we watched Prince and a number of Nita Baker and all these other artists, but Michael was one of those folks who had transcended race. And and to the extent that there was a certain feeling that I had, you know, I was a Republican who voted for Barack Obama, and it was kind of that moment where Barack Obama became president that I was like, wow, this is just a special period. That's that same era coming up with Michael Jackson that I think that it's gone, and I as my wife said, who's going to entertain us now? Because these folks coming up now, they're just boring.
Mm. Well, it's certainly, I mean, it's funny. I was just, as you were saying that, I was writing myself a note about what I remember hearing the Jacksons the first time would be, I guess it was very early 70s. I don't have a year in front of me. I'm sorry, those of you who keep track of these things. But I remember hearing them do ABC on WABC 770 in New York. And I mean, you know, it was that point where I was like, wow. So you have to be able to sing and dance. Because, you know, you'd see them on the Ed Sullivan. I'm really dating myself now, but you'd see them on, you know, things like the Ed Sullivan Show. But I'm also remembering when MTV opened. You mentioned MTV. When MTV started, I was one of those reporters who went to MTV within a year of it starting up and went to their headquarters and met all the VJs and was one of those reporters. I was doing this for the St. Pete Times, I think, who kept hammering them and saying, why is everybody so white? Why, you know, what's that all about? I mean, that doesn't – I mean, I'm a white guy. You know, you can probably tell that from my voice. But, you know, I didn't understand. That wasn't the way I saw music. I don't know that anybody saw it that way.
Well, I take it,
and, yeah, Michael broke through that.
I'll take it even one step further. Coming up, you know, I grew up in Los Angeles when Los Angeles was, you know, had a huge population of African Americans. And, you know, we were real big on the Jackson 5. There was a group called the Silvers. And they were kind of like the two guy groups that were competing with each other. But then
you had Fly Robin Fly?
Okay. Oh, you know what? You're scoring points with me right now.
You know, but I'm an old dude.
But the other group that was also in competition was the Osmonds. And I remember distinctly having conversations with people where we were saying, well, why does it seem like the Osmonds, because they're white, you know, they get so much more attention than the Jacksons, when we all know that the Jackson family is just just above and beyond. They're just blowing them out the water. And so, you know, now being in my 40s and being able to appreciate what the Osmonds did, because I was, you know, into it, but just to see how Michael, he really took it beyond race. And and what I also found that was interesting today, and someone mentioned this on my Facebook page, and I really had to think about it. They said, you know, with what happened with Michael Jackson, we are clearly seeing new media come into its own. Because I didn't need to pick up a newspaper, a magazine, listen to terrestrial radio, or go and turn on the TV in order to have this conversation and find out information about Michael Jackson. And when that person said that, I thought, and, you know, we can really do the show on Blog Talk Radio. And it's just where we are in terms of entertainment, in terms of news and information, and when people were going to the hospital out here in L.A., what did you see in their hands? You saw cell phones. You saw them having their own recorded devices, because people were like, I'm going to tell this story my way, and I'm going to report this as I see fit. And that's why I was so glad to be a part of this show tonight, because I think that just even the conversation we're having is historic.
Yeah, I mean, everyone has access to the media. I mean, you can do a show on Blog Talk just as easily as I can. about whatever you want, and you know, as can I, and that's something that was not possible. Yeah, you know, I was thinking you were talking about the Osmonds, and I'm watching the web chat, and hello everybody in the web chat, we're delighted to have you here. And there's a conversation among several people back and forth about the Osmonds and the Jackson 5, and you know, that was just a later version of what happened in the late 50s and early 60s with early rock and roll, where Chuck Berry and Little Richard and you know, I'm drawing a blank. A lot of these artists who did these incredible songs, only the songs were heard in a certain types of places. A lot of so-called rock stations in the South wouldn't play their music if they found out that they were black, and the songs only took off when white artists covered it, whether it was the Beatles, you know, Roll Over Beethoven, or Elvis Presley, or even Pat Boone, I think, covered some of that stuff.
Sure.
And I think Michael kind of, you got to give him credit for this. He kind of marked an end to that type of thing.
And you know what? And that's why, especially people in the black community, I was listening to Eric talk about the folks in Gary, and I totally got what he was saying in terms of why they would feel a little dissed, if you will, from the Jackson family. But you're going to see over the next course of, you know, days, hours, like I said, I'm doing a show tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 1 p.m. on the East Coast, where I really want to hear from people, and a lot of my audience tends to be African American. I want to hear these folks in terms of what they think about Michael Jackson, what Michael Jackson has meant to them, because already I'm getting emails and people are saying they're crying, and they're just, someone asked me, could you put on Facebook a picture of Michael Jackson as opposed to your normal picture profile? And I said, you know what, I'm going to do that. So don't be surprised if you go on Facebook and you see more and more people putting a picture of Michael Jackson up just to pay homage to this man who, like I said, for black folks, he's a source of pride because he was in our tribe. But, you know, in terms of, you still there with me?
Yeah, I'm still there, yeah.
Okay. For those of us who just really are music aficionados and just that R&B, soul, uplifting music, none of this, you know, I'm going to slap it, flip it, rub it down, I'm going to take her clothes off, I'm going to sex her up. It's, you know, that's not what Michael Jackson was about. He was about, you know, come here, you little pretty young thing, and you know, just to be close to you and Ben. And you know, even though he was a mess, and I mean, I don't have any reservation saying I think he had an issue as it related to young kids. I think he had some sexual addictions. I think he had some drug addictions. In fact, there's speculation that he may have taken an abundance of prescription pills, and it'll be interesting to see what happens over the course of days as to the autopsy. So it's not all going to be, you know, flowers and roses and unicorns talking about Michael Jackson, but you just cannot deny the legacy and the gift that he left to the world in terms of music.
Well, I want to remind everybody who's joining us as we're in the midst of things here, this is a two-hour special program on Blog Talk Radio. It's a version of the Mr. Media Radio Show. I'm talking right now to Kevin Ross, who hosts the Kevin Ross Show on Wednesdays at,
7 p.m.
On Wednesdays?
It's 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, West Coast time. And I just have to say this is what I love about the chat room. Selena Rose said, Kevin, just to be close to you was Lionel Richie. And she's absolutely right, or he's absolutely right, whoever you are. Thank you. I was thinking of Got to Be There by the Jackson 5. But see, you know, even terrestrial radio, regular talk radio, you couldn't go into a chat room and see that Lena Rose is sad that I saw his brother on, and I think she's talking about Jackie, who was giving the official family release, and you can just, he was huffing and exhaling like you knew this was painful. But as my wife pointed out, the Jackson family was like, this is our image, this is our brand, we're going to do it the way we want it to be done. But Entertainment Tonight put a picture of Michael showing that someone was trying to perform cardiac arrest. I don't know if you've seen that.
No, I haven't. I've been glued to the computer for obvious reasons tonight.
Well, I saw that picture, and I put it up on my Facebook page, and immediately someone said, this is in bad taste, Kevin. You should take this down. It's disrespectful. You know, give the man some time. But what I'm seeing is news now travels exponentially, and media and mm-hmm. us wanting information, and we want to know everything there is to know, and we want to know it now. And again, that's why I think that even the people who are listening or in the chat room, we all feel as though, you know what, I want to add to the collective here about this man that we all know as Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, I want to say there are a lot of people who are waiting on the switchboard to get in, and I would love to continue with you, but I want to be fair to them as well.
I appreciate just taking a few minutes, and if you're available, please join me tomorrow. That's 10 a.m. West Coast
Pacific,
time.
Right?
Right. That's Pacific, yeah. 1 p.m. Eastern, because we're going to continue the conversation. And Alan Levy, the CEO of Blog Talk Radio. Alan's going to be joining me. But for those of you who are on the line, keep supporting Blog Talk Radio shows, because this is the sort of thing that gets me excited, and this is why I'm part of the Blog Talk Radio family to begin with. So thank you for having me.
My pleasure. It was a pleasure to talk to you. I've heard nothing but good things about you, and encourage people to give you a listen. And thanks for calling in, Kevin. Have a great night.
Oh, I'll keep listening. I'm going to engage some folks in the chat room, but I'll look forward to hearing what the others are saying.
All right, great.
All right, you take good care.
You too. Bye-bye. And I think here's what we're going to do. I want to play another Michael Jackson song, and then we're going to go to Mark from the Somewhere in Vegas show in just a moment, right after this. I'm going to venture to say, and by the way, this is Bob Andelman. I host the Mr. Media radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to venture to say that my favorite Michael Jackson or Jackson 5 of Jackson's songs may not be your favorite. You won't hear me play Bad, for example, or Thriller, things that I've just heard way too many times. But mine all tend to be very upbeat, and these are the songs that I will remember Michael for. Joining us now on the line is Mark P., who hosts Somewhere in Vegas. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Bob. Thank you for having the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure. I also want to bring in our other Vegas correspondent this evening, Sean Daly, who hosts TV Talk. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Good, good. Sean is going to give us some information as we go along here that's coming in on what some celebrities are saying about Michael. But and I'm gonna have him along here. But let's go to Mark first. Mark, you know, what are you feeling tonight? What's going through your head?
I think it was obviously a very, very it was a shock. A lot of us didn't get right information right away. I think TMZ was the first to announce that he was dead, but all the rest of the networks were still saying that he was either in a coma or was in the hospital. So it was kind of confusing for a couple of hours until finally, one by one, the news station started confirming. And I'm willing to say that AP was the one that I felt that when AP had announced that he was dead, I was willing to believe them because they seemed to be the most credible news source. But yeah, everything, all the way down the line, it was a harrowing couple of hours just to hear, oh, is he dead or is he not dead? And finally we heard that, he had died, and it was kind of a shock, kind of out of left field. We haven't heard anything from Michael Jackson for the past couple of months. He was, and Sean can verify this, he was in Vegas just a couple months ago, and he was heading to L.A. getting ready for his big upcoming tour. So we haven't heard any interviews from him for the past 3 or 4 years, with the exception of the little press conference he had about his upcoming tour. It was kind of a shock that we didn't hear anything from him. We didn't know what kind of condition he was in for the past couple months. So we don't, and that's going to kind of be fledged out, I think, within the next few months. But for right now, I'm just thinking of what his legacy is in this world right now. And especially around the world. I mean, he was such a talented person. I've written down something that's really, really cool. Michael Jackson's loss has been felt over the world. It's rare that an artist has had such a illustrious and successful career that has impacted so many fans. Thriller is still the number one best-selling album with over 109 million copies to this day, which nobody's even reached it. Nobody's even passed 60 million. And Michael Jackson has 109 million copies. And I'm pretty sure after what has happened, I think that's going to be jumping to at least maybe 120, 125 million copies. Of his album. It's the best-selling album of all time. I like to remember him by, there's basically definitely, you can kind of break it down to three different kind of portions of his life. His first part of his life was with the Jackson 5, which, it's in his early years with the Jackson 5, the charming boy who could sing and dance and make everyone smile. We saw him grow up into a teenager and go into a successful solo career in his second part of his life. That goes into the whole earliest memory that I have had about Michael was seeing him in The Wiz, which was his first major on-screen debut. He co-starred with his what's considered one of his mentors, Diana Ross, in that film, and it was just unbelievable to see this kid do such a great job in acting. And he did a great job in The Wiz, and they just celebrated the 30th anniversary of The Wiz last year. So it was great to kind of see him. And then once that came out, he had started his solo career. And then came Thriller, who had everything from artists like Paul McCartney, Quincy Jones, and Eddie Van Halen all contributed to that album. And it also kind of catapulted. And it was really cool. The timing was absolutely great for Michael, because once Thriller came out, that was when the MTV era was. And suddenly, with Michael Jackson on MTV, the budgets for music videos, it became more artistic, and MTV suddenly became a phenomenon. So you can't really say MTV without saying Michael Jackson. I mean, obviously there's a moon man. There's a reason why, because of the moonwalk. So Michael definitely gained popularity for MTV. And we cannot all forget We Are the World and its impact to the ending of hunger in Africa. Michael has been giving on charities all over the world and has given millions upon millions of dollars to different projects, including the AIDS Project LA, American Cancer Society, Angel Food, Big Brothers of Greater Los Angeles, BMI Foundation, Brotherhood Crusade, Burlington Burn Center, Camp Ronald McDonald, Child Help USA, Children's Institute International, Cities and Schools Scholarship Fund, Community Youth Sports and Arts Foundation, Congressional Black Caucus, the Dakar Foundation, Dream Street Kids, Dream Come True Charities, Elizabeth Taylor AIDS Foundation, Juvenile Diabetes Foundation, Love March, Make-A-Wish Foundation, Minority AIDS Project, Motown Museum, NAACP, National Rainbow Coalition, Rotary Club of Australia, Society of Singers, Starlight Foundation,
Mark.
The Carter Center for Atlanta. Okay, hold on a second. It's not over.
Okay.
It's not over. Sickle Sarah Research Foundation, Trans Africa, United Negro College Fund, and Volunteers of America, Watts Summer Festival, Wish Granting, and YMCA. So I wanted to make sure I get all those on the list because those are all the charities that he contributed to over his illustrious career.
Well, I appreciate that. It is an impressive list. And Sean, let me bring you in here. What are we hearing? What are other celebrities saying? I did notice when I still had the TV sound on, which has been more than an hour now. They were saying that CNN was saying that they're being bombarded by celebrities releasing statements.
Oh, it's been nonstop on CNN and also on Twitter. John Meyer responded. His first comment was 3 hours ago. He said, "Dazed in the studio. A major strand of our cultural DNA has left us. Rest in peace, Michael Jackson." Then he kept going on and on about it. He goes on, it's John Meyer once again on Twitter, saying, "I think we'll mourn his loss as well as the loss of ourselves as children listening to Thriller on the record player," which is true. And it goes on, "All you need is, I truly hope he is memorialized as the 1983 moonwalking, MTV-owning, mesmerizing, unstoppable, invincible Michael Jackson." So that's John Meyer chiming in basically throughout the day about this. I mean, I had a chance to go to – I lived in Chicago for my youth, and I lived in Chicago. I went to the October 14th, 1984 Jackson – with the Jackson 5 Victory Tour at Comiskey Park in Chicago, and that was a show. They were doing the Pepsi Tour, and that was amazing. I thought, I'm a White Sox fan. You know, the season wasn't too good for the Sox, and I thought – you know, I had a chance to get tickets, and I thought, why not? I had a chance to go into Comiskey Park when the Sox aren't playing, beyond the field. So I went to the show, and it was terrific. He changed your perception. That guy, he had a voice, he had charisma, he could move. I mean, I remember my mother telling me about, you know, Elvis Presley and all that. When I came home from that show, I said, I don't know, you know, Michael Jackson can move as good as Elvis ever did. It is true. You watch him, even recently, you know, the last time he was on a stage, he still had those moves, and amazing entertainment. And I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Bob or Mark, you know, reading newspaper stories and my own memories kind of converging, the Pepsi tour in Chicago, that's where his hair got burned, if I'm not mistaken, correct? The pyrotechnics went off?
They were shooting a commercial for Pepsi,
right,
if I remember correctly. They were on stage. There was no concert necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think they were just shooting a commercial.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that we're almost an hour in, and that's the first time someone's brought that story up. That was like, that I remember that very well because I was a pop music critic in the mid '80s for the St. Pete Times and the Tampa Tribune, and yeah, I remember that story well. And that was just like you're just scratching your head, going, what's going on here? And that was just an accident. That wasn't even him being weird.
Yeah, yeah, and it seems like April is saying in the chat room, seems like the Pepsi tour, it may have been the spark of his career. I don't know. I mean, I was too young. I really didn't care too much. You know, I wasn't following his career that much back then, but maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But also Liza Minnelli just chimed in. She said, "He was one of the greatest entertainers who have ever lived. I loved him and will miss him very much." That's Liza Minnelli chiming in. Elizabeth Taylor's reps have said she's too emotional to issue any kind of statement right now, but apparently as soon as she is able to, they'll release a statement from Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor, of course, she's not in the best of health either, but she was supposed to fly over to see his opening night and his tour. Those two were very close. We all remember her husband, which one, Larry the plumber, and how Jackson stood by her side, and she stood by his side during his travails as well, so... unusual friendship between a screen icon and a pop culture, pop music icon. I mean, those two don't seem like they'd be friends, you know, in anybody's lifetimes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just shows you how Michael Jackson could transcend, be an important friend to a huge movie star like Elizabeth Taylor.
Now, Mark, let me ask you a question, because you definitely seem to have a strong interest in Michael, and I seem to be. I hope it's safe to describe you as a Michael Jackson fan. How do you feel about, you know, people who love his music but have issues with his personal life and the way he carried himself? Are you offended if they bring that up tonight?
I think now is not the time to bring it up. I think that he just died. I don't think you should bring it up now. You should, if you're going to bring it up, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out within the next couple weeks, and especially after he's buried, about what's happened. Because, even though he was a very public man, he was a very private man. We don't know what was going on behind closed doors, and a lot of that stuff may be revealed after his death. We have no clue about that. But now is not the time to talk down to Michael. And I think Sean can kind of concur with me on this. I mean, I was kind of perplexed with the when Chris Benoit had died. This is kind of a similar feeling that, you know, what he did was, I mean, in his personal life was different than what he did on stage. And there is a kind of a separation between that. And I learned that after when Chris Benoit died. I was a huge Chris Benoit fan until I heard what happened. But, you know, his legacy, I think, you know, I mean, elsewhere, other than his personal life, you know, kind of still is there. And I think the same thing is going to go with Michael even more so. I think people are going to think of him as, you know, a legend, as a person that has transcended the music industry. He's the one that made music multimedia, not just radio, but also MTV and television and satellite radio and all this. So there is a kind of a separation between what his personal life is versus what his professional life is. And you choose how you remember this person, or remember any person. I personally like to remember Michael when around the Thriller time and Bad albums came out. I think that was the high notes of his career, and I think he was still doing great. There wasn't very much controversy in his life, and he was just rocking the world. So, you know, I think it's all in how you remember that person. So I think that's something that you kind of have to wrestle with yourself, that is that good enough to kind of, you know, these allegations or whatever that he's gone through. And we don't even know if it's true or not, because he was found not guilty in a court of law. It may be true, mm-hmm. but I feel that, you know, I feel that's a separate part of his life.
Okay, but, I mean, that's fair. I know we have people who feel, you know, both ways. I've been trying to separate my own feelings on this, because, you know, I love a lot of his music. On the other hand, if I had a son, I wouldn't have left him with him. But, you know, it's just the way it is. Let me ask you guys this. Purely what if, but let's say you're Michael Jackson, you've passed, and if you're, I don't want to get into anyone's religious beliefs, but let's say you believe in you know, an afterlife, and suddenly you're deceased, and you have a soul, whatever it is, and you're looking back, and you're going, you know, if I knew I was only going to live to be 50, there's a lot of things I would have corrected and changed. I wouldn't have wanted to leave things messy the way they are. I would have wanted to do this and this and this. Is that, you know?
Well, I think maybe he would like to have had a childhood. I go back to that as probably the thing that he did not have that affected his whole life. I mean, you know, he's performing since he was a kid. His parents, the father. I'm going to get into this, but I mean, it's just, you know, some of this we all know from following him all these years, but. Maybe he would like to do things a little bit differently. Going through the medical procedures and all that, and the alleged incidents with these kids. Maybe if he would have, had a choice to go back, you know, give him a couple options to what things from your life would you want to erase, and maybe those would be the things he'd want to erase. And I think most definitely he'd like to go back and probably have a childhood. I think that's the thing that, again, that affected his life till today. Mark?
I'd have to kind of agree with you on that. The idea that he, you know, it was brought out that he was abused as a child. And, you know, being an actor and a musician, you know, and in your, you know, your early parts of your life, you have to grow up really, really quickly. And I think we saw a lot of that later on in his life, that he wanted to be a child again. And sometimes, you know, you don't, you know, you become a child, but you really need to be adult sometimes. And, you know, having a childhood would have been really fruitful for him to have. And I think that does cause a lot of psychological problems. So definitely that would have been something that I think he would have regretted. I'd also want to say that the fact that he's done so much good in this lifetime, though, too, with what he's done. And I think people, you know, always, you know, look towards the bad. And I just gave you a list a few minutes ago of a lot of charities that he gave to. So he's trying to make amends for maybe some of the stuff that he may have went through, or maybe he's trying to give something better to this world. And, you know, I mean, that's almost, you know, kind of sacrificial. You know, he's always in the limelight or whatever. Whatever he does wrong is wrong, but yet he still does his part to do something that makes the world a little bit better.
Yeah. I know he loved kids, Bob. I mean, he, you know, having, you know, living here in Las Vegas, we hear, you know, saw stories, and I talked to people personally, you know, that he'd take kids, straight, you know, boys, girls, whatever, you know, strange, poor, mostly poor kids. He'd take them into Caesars. The Caesars has the toy store there. What's the name of that place? FAO Schwartz. He'd take them in there, and the manager would close the store. He'd let those kids go berserk in that store, basically get whatever you want, and he'd come out, he'd buy these kids all the toys. And it was just, it's amazing. Not just one time, many times he'd bring kids in there after hours and let them buy anything he wanted, you know, they wanted. But, you know, poor kids especially, he really took care of these children. And then in my building, second building over, one of the housekeepers that worked at there's a Sultan of Brunei, he's got a huge compound here, and he let Michael Jackson live in this compound for a while after the last little legal mishap. And they told me there are Christmas trees all over the house, and it was like July and August. I mean, like I said, he's a man who was trying to get some kind of childhood that he never got, because they had Christmas trees all over this house, this mansion that he lived in with those two kids. And he treated, you know, he tried to treat his kids and our kids like it was Christmas every day. So that's you know, it's a great touch of him. Tells you about his humanity, and also, again, going back, what he did not get when he was a kid. So it's a remarkable story. You can look at it in, you know, a different light.
Well, guys, I wonder if you're able to stick around a little bit. I'd like to slip in another song, and then I've got another magazine writer who's going to join us just after the top of the hour. I don't know if you guys can hang with us, or if you want to call back
sure.
in, whatever. What would work best for you, Mark?
I can just hang if you need me.
Okay, Sean, is that okay with you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You too? Okay,
yep.
Guys, I'm gonna put you on hold so we don't have to listen to you breathing heavily while we play another song.
Okay.
And Jonah Carey, you're gonna be up next. So let's go with another one of my favorites. And thanks, guys. We'll come back to you in just momentarily.
Thank you.
right, let me remind everybody, you're listening to a special edition of Mr. Media Radio. This is Michael Jackson Remembered. We've got a very active web chat. You're welcome to join us there. You can, if you're new to Blog Talk Radio, on the page that you found us, if you scan down a little below, there's a chat window you can open up, and you'll see there's several dozen people in there. It's been very busy tonight, and we welcome everyone who is in the web chat, and we welcome those of you that are listening to us live, or if you're listening to this in the future on the archive, thanks for joining us. We're going into our second hour. We're talking about Michael Jackson. We've got hosts from Blog Talk Radio. Earlier, Eric Deggans, the TV and media critic from St. Petersburg Times and TampaBay.com, joined us, and he's also from Gary, Indiana. If you missed that, I encourage you to listen to the archive later. And right now, I'm going to bring on Jonah Carey. Jonah is a sports writer, and he also writes about stocks. As he puts it on his website, which is Jonah Carey, JonahKerry.com. His take on the issues is influenced by objective analysis and biased Canadianism. Jonah, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bob.
Glad to have you here. You've been very patient. I know you've been waiting a while. You've got a post on your blog today. It's called The Complicated Legacy of Michael Jackson. And those of you in the web chat, I am I've posted that now if you want to check that out. What's what did you have to say today about Michael?
Basically, that it is complicated, that when you look at everything that's happened, and by the way, I respect the opinions of your other guests, absolutely, and it is tricky to get into subjects other than how great a singer and dancer he was, and by the way, I was a huge Michael Jackson fan like everybody else, but other things did come into play, and the thing that really sticks out in my mind is the influence of his father, Joe Jackson. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was considered, they called him, quote, the greatest musical manager of all time. And he absolutely raised a family of superstars, arguably the most greatest entertainer since Elvis Presley, no question. But at the same time, it was a reign of terror. The stuff that he did to his kids, abuse, all this stuff was really, it had a lasting imprint on his sons. And it's interesting, the way Michael Jackson's life went, how much that can be attributed to his father, and how do you weigh the legacy of Joe Jackson when talking about Michael Jackson? These are not easy questions.
What is the Canadian tilt on all this? Since that's you take pride in that, so tell us. We had Eric Deggans on earlier, who gave us a view from Gary, Indiana. Give us a view from north of the border.
Well, I can't say that my exposure to Michael Jackson was much different than Americans growing up. I'm in my mid-30s, and so when Thriller came out, I was just a kid, but I mean, it was just unbelievable. Seeing him do the moonwalk in 1983 was just something that absolutely influenced me. I guess I was, 8, 9 years old, and it was just fantastic. I was just mesmerized by him, and all my friends loved Michael Jackson, and I'd get a little older, and we'd go to parties with girls, and Michael Jackson was playing. One of your guests earlier was talking about dancing with girls and all that. Oh, yeah, Michael Jackson was in bounds. I mean, no question. He was just absolutely the life of the party when it came to that music, and had a big, big influence, and people talk about their favorite songs. Unless I missed it, I don't think anybody mentioned Smooth Criminal, which to me is a fantastic Michael Jackson song, later covered by a kind of an indie band in the 90s called Alien Ant Farm. They did a decent take on it, but, I mean, Michael Jackson's version is it's terrific, and it's a different kind of song, too. I mean, Billie Jean is obviously an all-time classic. You can't go wrong, but I'm a big, big fan of Smooth Criminal. That was really one of my favorites growing up.
You you want to sing us a bar or two?
Absolutely not. You don't want that either.
Do you? I was going to ask you if you had a favorite song or a favorite Michael Jackson moment. Should we take Smooth Criminal to be the song, or do you have another?
I mean, I guess Billie Jean is my favorite. Smooth Criminal would be my favorite of the underrated songs. And full credit to you and some of your guests who've brought up some of the really good and underrated songs that he's done. Absolutely, there's been some very good stuff out there. So, it's so interesting. I can remember, we talk about these moments. This isn't a favorite moment, but it's a memorable moment. We talk about these things that happened in his life. I can remember I've moved around the country a lot. Ended up marrying an American and moving south of the border, which is south of the border from Canada, not from the U.S., in 1997. And I moved around quite a bit. And I was moving from L.A. to Seattle. It was in 2005. And was driving up, long, long drive. And barely I could pick up on the radio, but it was the verdict coming in from the trial where he was allegations of abuse and all that stuff. And it's just something you don't forget. I was going through, I think it was like Vancouver, Washington, in the southern part of the state of Washington, and there was a big clamor about it, and everybody was going nuts, and all the radio stations had it. And, you know, this stuff was, it had a big impact on people. I mean, this was way after his musical prime. But he just had this imprint on people where even where something like that just became this really, really big deal. And I think that what's going to happen in the next couple of days is this stuff is going to be really sensationalized. We're going to talk about everything that happened with him, and there's going to be talk about his singing and dancing. There's going to be talk about the pyrotechnics incident. We could even get into the stuff about how he poached Paul McCartney and the Beatles' entire catalog of music. I thought that was kind of an underrated aspect of his legacy, too. But you know, I think that it requires a little bit of thought when we get into the heavier stuff with Michael Jackson. You know, there is fault there, but there, again, I go back to Joe Jackson. I think there's a lot of fault there, too. I appreciate the plug of my website, by the way, jonahkerry.com, jonahkerry.com, and feel free to check out what I have to say. I'm not a music expert by any means, but I think that stuff resonated. My wife happens to be a child psychologist also who specializes in things like family violence, so I guess I'm a little bit close to the issue, too.
I think you raise a good issue of in terms of the Paul McCartney and the Beatles thing. That was amazing that he managed to steal that catalog away from McCartney. I heard earlier today that one of the things I heard him talking about was, oh, he was such a business genius that he did that. Well, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but I don't really believe that was. That Michael Jackson was a business genius. I think he had a good advisor who spotted a bargain and they picked it up. If he was a business genius, he wouldn't have died. Whatever number it is, $100 or $400 million in debt, based on the incredible revenue stream that he had created over the years. So, but it was, I mean, you know, he pissed off his old friend Paul McCartney when he did that, and I don't think they ever resolved that. So. I was talking earlier, you know, if you're Michael Jackson, you could look back on your life right now. Would you do things differently? I have to believe that would be on the list of things to do a little differently.
Oh, he definitely ostracized and alienated McCartney. And the thing is, there was nothing illegal about it. I mean, you talked about the fact that whether it was shrewd or not, I mean, ultimately it worked out to be shrewd. I don't know whose decision it was. But, there's a question of how much is a friendship worth and all that. Now, mind you, McCartney at the time was much richer than Michael Jackson was. Part of the reason that Michael Jackson became rich is actually because he obtained the Beatles catalog, which was a pretty smooth move. But, I mean, it was known that his father garnished a lot of those early wages and that, you know, as far as the Jackson 5 went, it basically went into Joe Jackson's pockets. Again, there's so much you could talk about. It's such an interesting story. The Paul McCartney thing is so far off the beaten path, and yet, you know, you can almost do a whole show about that just in terms of business and decisions and things of that nature.
Well, I very much appreciate you calling in and giving us your thoughts on this. Just so folks know, Jonah is working on a book about the Tampa Bay Rays run to the American League Championship last season and how they did it. And anyone who listens to the show know that I generally start the show, didn't do it today, but I generally start the show by saying that this show is comes from the new media and American League Baseball champion city, St. Petersburg, Florida. So Jonah and I had started a conversation about that, and that's how we just happened to exchange some email tonight, and he told me that he had posted something on Michael, so I invited him to come on and talk. And Jonah, you and I will be talking next week, and I appreciate you calling in and sharing your thoughts tonight.
Thank you, Bob, and for your listeners, they should go to stadiumforrent.com and read your great book on Tampa Bay's quest for Major League Baseball. It's been a big influence in my research, actually, and that's what we're going to be talking about next week, and I very much look forward to that.
All right. Well, thanks. I appreciate it, and have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Now, in just a moment, we're going to bring on another Blog Talk Radio host, Mother, who hosts Mother Knows. He's in Philadelphia. First, the music's been pretty popular with everyone, so I want to give you one more. This is I Want You Back. Well, if the web chat is something I can judge from, it looks like my choice of Jackson music is going over well, so I'm glad to hear that. Now I want to bring on another member of the Blog Talk Radio family. This is Mava, host of Mava Knows, and you are in Philadelphia, I believe.
Yes, I am.
Welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Thank you for having me. I'm just shooken up just like everyone else is.
How did you hear, and where were you at the time?
Well, am I there?
Yeah, you're here. Go ahead.
Okay. just like everyone else, I'm at home, and I saw it on the internet at first. And you know when you see things, you really don't believe it. And then I had to say, let me cut on CNN, because for me, CNN is very reputable. And if CNN wasn't saying anything, so when I turned it on, I'll make a longer story shorter. They were saying that he was in the hospital and, you know, he was in a coma. But I was hearing it was reported earlier that TMZ had said that he died. So, it, you know, it threw me for such a big loop because I love Michael Jackson. I love Michael Jackson. I think he was and is the greatest entertainer on planet Earth. And God bless him. God bless his family. And my prayers and support goes to the Jackson family right now, because one thing that is about to get crazy, because the man hasn't even been in his grave for, what, 5 minutes, is going to be all type of stories. And I think what we need to do is let's don't worry about the vitiligo. Let's don't worry about the 18 nose jobs. Let's worry about the good, what he has done, the legacy, and what he is leaving behind.
Now, don't hold back. Tell us how you really feel.
Well, this is how I feel. I feel like
with
the next few days that's coming up, there's going to be a whole bunch of bullshit that's going to come out here. You know what I'm saying? And Michael Jackson is not – he's past legendary. The man is an icon. He's been in this business for decades, okay? And you got all these new guys out there right now. They all wanted to be like him, from the Neos to the Ushers to the Omarions, all of them. They all got it from him. He did the moonwalk. Who had the glove? I had a glove. I couldn't get the jacket. I tried to get a Jerry curl, but no one could get a Jerry curl like Michael.
I hear you. Do you have a particular memory of Michael over the years? Something that really stands out that represents Michael to you?
Besides, you know what,
the Jerry curl.
Besides the Jerry curl, you know what stands out to me? It was the Motown 25th anniversary, and it was him and his brothers, and he came out there, and he moonwalked left to right from the front of, to the left of that stage. Michael Jackson was a badass motherfucker. Excuse my French, but I don't know nothing else but Latin. And you know what I'm saying? And I'm just so shook up, you know what I'm saying? I'm not even being a drama queen. I'm really just really... like, wow, Michael Jackson is dead, and shout-outs, and God bless Farrah Fawcett, too. Oh, my gosh. This is two for the price of one, not to be funny. You know what I'm saying?
No, I understand. I mean, I've been waiting for someone to point out that these things happen in threes, and, you know, I'm sure for the celebrity death watch payoff, someone's going to tell us who number three is going to be.
Well, we've already had number three. It's Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, and Michael Jackson.
You're absolutely right. I completely forgot about it. You know, what kind of week could it be that we could lose Ed McMahon, Farrah Fawcett, and Michael Jackson within, like, you know, hours and days of each other? It's just, you know, it's been a strange week. Now, why are you so loyal to Michael? I mean, I can hear in your voice that you're going to be one of those people who does not want to hear the negative things coming up this evening. We can't help that. I mean, people bring it up, but why is he so important to you, Mother?
You know why? Michael Jackson, I grew up to Michael Jackson as a kid. And just seeing him grow and go through this business, and he's always strived. One thing I love about Michael Jackson, he's about perfection. He's a perfectionist. He wants everything to be perfect, and he's an entertainer. He gives his all. And, of course, the bad is going to come out there, but the man has given to charity. He's done so many good things, you know what I'm saying? And it's just really shocking. This is a really huge blow for the music industry. That's A. and for millions around the world. You ever see when he's overseas, those little girls, they go crazy. The people go crazy. People go crazy for Michael Jackson, and it hurts me because he wanted to come back, and he wanted to make this last comeback, but God sent him home. And to really say the truth, we have to be thankful and grateful. It shouldn't take a Michael Jackson or a Farrah Fawcett to pass away to start saying all this philosophical stuff. But it's really the truth, because you never know when your turn is up.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Michael did a disservice to himself with some of his actions over the years? I mean, I appreciate what you're saying, but you know, we can't ignore some of the things that he's.
I'm not going to sit on the phone and glorify like he was the angelic one, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we are all human. We all make mistakes. We've all done shit we ain't have no business doing. You know what I'm saying? And that was a grown man, and I do believe from him being young and coming into this business, it was definitely a rough ride for him. But he took the punches. He took the punches. He kept fighting, from the child molestation to him not having money to this, to that. He just kept fighting. And, you know, he probably couldn't. I reported a few months back when they first started talking about him going on tour. And it was such reports out there like, Michael's not going to make it. He's not going to go on tour because he was sick. He's been sick for a while. So, you know, at the end of the day, he's in a better place. We will always have, he left us with so much music. And I'm telling you, everyone better go out there right now, because you know his music, they're about to make it, $500 a pop. I'm sure it's going for quite expensive on Amazon, because this is what they do when someone of a statue like Michael Jackson passes away. They rise the prices of his music.
Well, yeah, I have to say, I hope that they do sell a lot of his music based on this, because I want to see his kids have an estate, you know, something to inherit. It didn't, you know, if we had this conversation 48 hours ago, it didn't look like wouldn't have looked like those kids were stood to inherit much after dad went through so much. So if they sell a lot of Michael Jackson music in the coming weeks and months, and I expect they will based on what's happened over the years with Elvis and the Beatles when John Lennon passed, power to them, power to those kids.
Michael Jackson will be fine. And one thing I want to say, you know, I'm not his banker or his accountant, but a lot of people always said Michael Jackson was broke. That man wasn't broke. Of course he had financial problems. We all have financial problems. But I guarantee you, Michael Jackson wasn't broke. And yes, he has the Beatles catalogs, and we know that's a lot of money as well. But I know for a fact in my heart, Michael Jackson wasn't broke. He may wasn't sitting on top of the money that he was once sitting on because of all the legal mess he had and all the drama, and you got to pay this one and you got to pay that one. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He's definitely going to go out like the king of pop.
Do you have a favorite Michael Jackson song, Mother?
Oh, my gosh, do I? So many. I love Bad. I love Beat It. I love Dirty Diana. I love Smooth Criminal. I love the Jackson 5 stuff, Rockin' Robin. And, oh, my gosh, I Want You Back. So many songs. Like, he's timeless. He's a class act. You'll never see anyone like Michael Jackson. And it's truly a big loss for everyone. And a lot of people are really hurting over this, because it's really unbelievable that he's gone. It really is. But what can you do, right?
Yeah. Now, tomorrow when you wake up, what do you think your first thought is going to be when it comes to Michael? What are you going to be thinking about in the morning after you've had a night to sleep on all this?
Well, I'm going to definitely be looking at all the TV and seeing, because like I said, I'm sure tomorrow is going to be one hell of an event on TV, from Access Hollywood to CNN to ET. It's just going to be a mess. But I just want to see that everything is done appropriately and, you know, nice tributes, nice things for him, because he was a nice guy. And I don't know him personally, but he's someone that's a friend in my head where you feel like you know him, even though, you know what I'm saying? And I can't continue to say, of course, he had drama, we all had drama, but he was just a kid trapped in a grown man's body. That's all.
Well, Mother, I very much appreciate you calling. Do you want to mention when your show is on for people who may not be familiar with it?
Well, thank you for having me so much. I appreciate it. My show is on Monday through Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Mother Knows Show.
Very good. Well, it was a pleasure to talk to you. We haven't spoken before, but I hope that we will again. And thank you very much for contributing to the show tonight.
And thank you for having me. Enjoy your evening.
My pleasure. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. We've got a call from area code 214. You are up right after this from Michael Jackson.
You know, I was wondering, you know, if you could keep on, because the force has got a lot of power, and it makes me feel like it makes me feel like it.
All right. Well, obviously, that was Michael Jackson. Don't stop. This is, I just want to remind you, this is Bob Andelman. You're listening to a special edition of Mr. Media Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. We're having a lot of our regular hosts have come in to talk about Michael. Started off with Eric Deggans from St. Petersburg Times, and Jonah Carey was on a little while ago. We've had, and we'll return to Sean Daly and Mark back with us in a minute. But right now, we're going to go out to the Big D. We've got a caller from Dallas. So welcome to the show.
Hey, Bob. This is Fran Harris. I actually do a show on Blog Talk called Get Off Your Assets. Thanks for doing this show. It's great, by the way.
My pleasure. Welcome. Glad to have you.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, man. I mean, I think we all have to say we're our prayers and thoughts go out to those children first and foremost. I mean, Michael's family, of course, they're going to hold each other up, but those kids, my prayers are just really with them. And you know, I was on the boards earlier talking about Michael Jackson-isms. You know, have you guys talked about the things that he really popularized in pop culture, which is what I do. I talk about brands and marketing and how people really etch themselves into pop culture. And Michael Jackson, I mean, I don't know what your favorite one was, but, you know, you'd be remiss not to think about the and the glove and the jacket and the grab and the crotch. You know, that's how you really measure someone's impact on the culture, and he had so many things like that he really leaves behind, and so we're going to miss him for sure.
Now, we knew that the crotch grab was over, though, when Roseanne did it at a baseball game in San Diego, right?
Right, right.
That's when it was overripe, and we knew that it was time for that to go away. That's good, though. You're right. I mean, that was Michael.
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I was going to say, there was that period of time where it seemed like whatever he touched turned to gold.
Yeah.
And he was definitely a brand onto himself. He was a marketing machine.
That's
and
right.
And he knew it, and he played it. You know, what do you think, I gather this is your expertise. So what is,
right.
And this is kind of ghoulish, but, you know, let's go there. What is his afterlife market value? I mean, where is it going to be? Is he going to be equal to, you know, Elvis and all that kind of thing?
You know, I think without a question, he's iconic. Without a question, he's iconic. You can talk about record sales. You can talk about that all day. But the measure of a man's impact on the world is not really marked and measured by his record sales. This guy, everything he touched turned to gold for a minute, and when I talk about the things that he really etched into the pop culture psyche, his attire, his hair, we used to think that being like Mike was about Michael Jordan, but people did really want to be like Mike. People wanted to be like Michael Jackson. I had the red jacket. I had the Jerry curl. You know, you had the slippery jacket. To be able to say, was like people would like, really, you could do that? You know, it was just those kinds of things. And even though it was kind of crass to grab your crotch, he made it cool. You know, he made grabbing your crotch really, really cool. But, Bob, it's like you look at what this guy left in his legacy, and he really made dancing cool. He really was the ultimate entertainer and performer. There is nobody like this guy. And so when we look at the in totality, I mean, we're talking about the total man. We're not saying this was an angel. We're not saying any of that. But if we look at the total man and the total brand, it would be a shame if his brand and his legacy are not right up there with Elvis Presley and some of the great ones that way.
Has there been, I'm gonna ask this, and I'm probably going to think of somebody instantly, but, you know, we talk about Elvis. Has there been an African-American performer in this country that in passing has equaled the impact of Elvis, or will Michael be the first?
Wow, that is a great question. And the first person that came to my mind was James Brown. But I think James Brown, because he really came before the media, you know, thank God to Michael and everybody living in the last 30 years, thank God for television and now the internet. But I think had James Brown come at a time when television was more into its teen years and 20s and 30s and that kind of stuff, he may have had the same kind of impact. But Michael Jackson was born at the right time. He was born at the right time. He was a gorgeous child performer, and then he came in the 80s when really music videos were starting to come into just their infancy, and so he made music videos. He put them on the map with Thriller, and so we have to give him credit. We definitely have to give him props for that, but absolutely not. The first person that came to my mind was James Brown, but I think he just got here a little too soon to have the same kind of impact that, say, an Elvis Presley did. And even, you know, Fred Astaire, we can go back to Sammy Davis Jr., we can go to all these people who are not necessarily black, and they just were born earlier than when media really was able to just make someone an instant icon and celebrity.
James, I'm glad you mentioned James. I actually, me personally, probably listened to way more James Brown than I probably ever will Michael Jackson. I just I think there's a variety there. I think the difference is interesting. James was a guy who performed everywhere, all the time, year round. He was one of these guys who probably performed 200, 250 gigs a year, after year after year. And you know, you saw him, you loved him, Yeah, I think I think you're right. I think it's a media thing.
It's a media thing.
Everybody knows who he is. Yeah.
Yeah, James had to perform 250 times a year to make any kind of money. And when Michael Jackson came on the scene, we're talking about selling out arenas and stadiums and shutting down theme parks and all kinds of things. It just became a different ball game. And so he was able to be thrust into a different level of celebrity by the sheer fact that we had television, we had radio, we had cable, we had concerts of a different level, just of huge magnitude. And so, some of our earlier icons, if you will, didn't get the benefit of it. But, I was looking at television the other night. I was looking at BET, and I saw James at the time when Michael Jackson actually presented James Brown with an award. And I kid you not, Bob, I was telling my sister this a few minutes ago. I said, I saw that like two nights ago, and I said, wow, one of the great ones is gone. And, of course, this is before Michael died, but it was just one of those moments. You see those two guys dancing on stage. It was chilling. It was really, really chilling. Because we didn't get to see Michael in his authenticity a whole lot. And when he was on stage, for me, that was the realest Michael Jackson's brand ever was.
I think it's a great observation. Where let me ask you one more thing, and I'm going to let you go because I've got a couple more people to squeeze in here before we run out of time. Where do you think the majority of the value in his estate is going to be? Is it songs? Is it the value of the songs he's written? Where's
the library. I think the library. He was a brilliant songwriter. And you think about the songs that he did that made it to movies, Willie, Free Willie, and you think about Have You Seen My Childhood, and you think about all those songs that he did. He was just a brilliant songwriter, and so we will miss his genius for sure.
Wow. Well, Fran, I really appreciate you calling in. I want to remind everybody about your show, Get Off Your Assets. And I'm sorry, tell us again when that airs.
I'm going to do a special show in the morning, 10 a.m. Central, and you can just search Blog Talk Radio, Get Off Your Assets, and Fran Harris.
Great. Well, Fran, thank you so much for calling in, and appreciate your time, and have a great night.
You got to take care, Bob. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. Let's try to get some more calls in. We've got a call from 770. I believe this is in Atlanta. Hi. Welcome to the special edition of Mr. Media.
Hey, it's Chatterbox Christy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm host of the Chatterbox Show on Blog Talk Radio, and big, huge, gigantic Michael Jackson fan. Yes, I am in Atlanta.
Okay.
Too, but I'm not as, I guess, I feel like all the other callers have so much more to say, but I guess I just wanted to talk about Michael from the dance perspective, because I studied dance in my youth, and I did a lot of choreography. I was in dance troops and on a dance team and did choreography, and he influenced a lot of what I did, and I also looked at a lot of his influences. Of course, you saw a lot of Fred Astaire, but I don't know, how into the dance world everybody else is. But he got a lot of his choreography from the movie West Side Story, and that is one of my favorites. The Bad video, just almost entirely influenced by West Side Story. We even sort of the I guess theatrical portion of Bad. That's sort of actually that era of his life is sort of kind of where he was starting to lose me a little bit. But because that's where he just really started to get weird. But I still appreciated him as an artist, definitely as a dancer. I so respect him as a dancer, just coming from one dancer to another, that I just absolutely love that aspect. I could just watch him dance for hours. And I think anybody, even if they're not, if they don't, you know, have that appreciation for dance that I do, still, you can't help but watch the man move. You just can't. I mean, no matter how weird he is, you just can't help but watch him when he's moving.
I think, you know, it's amazing that we've gone almost 2 hours and you're the first to really focus in on the dancing. I saw my daughter was watching, I will never admit that I watched this, but my daughter was watching the first night of America's Got Talent the other night, and there had to be at least one, if not two, kids out there that were doing, you know, the whole shuffle step and the whole things. Clearly, it was Michael's step. So, it's a great observation.
And you also think about the artists that are out today, Chris Brown. I mean, I hate to bring him up because he's not exactly in favorable light these days either. But Usher, I mean, their dance styles. Definitely a huge – Michael Jackson's a huge influence on them. So, I mean, everything that's going on today in terms of dance, even just the pop music, it came from him in a sense. I mean, we know of his influences, the James Brown and all that kind of stuff, but it's all coming full circle. And, I mean, he'll just be greatly missed. I hate I'll be the first to admit that, you know, his weirdness just really bothered me, but – cannot deny the man's talent. You cannot. He's a genius. He started so many things. Started the moonwalk. Started that, you know, that gliding movement that everybody does, that everybody did throughout the 80s, and kept it going. It never went out of style. To be honest, they just enhanced it and expounded on it. And you watch shows like So You Think You Can Dance and America's Best Dance Crew. You see it even in the hip hop world, even in, you know, Crumpin', everything, there is some part of what Michael brought to the dance world there. And, you know, as a former dancer who, you know, lives vicariously through these TV dance shows, I will completely miss him. And I'm going to be doing something on my show tomorrow, too. I do. Oh, yeah, Justin Timberlake. I'm sorry. I see Francie in there. Yes, she's screaming. I'm like, Justin Timberlake. Yes, yes. I'm so sorry. I wasn't looking at the chat room. My screen had gone into sleep mode. Sorry about that. Yes, Justin Timberlake. Definitely influenced by him. Even his sound is influenced, I think, by Michael Jackson. So, I mean, you can't go anywhere without him, you know, have touched somebody in some way, but I did want to bring the dance perspective into it, and I know you probably have some more callers on, but Chatterbox Radio is my little blog talk call sign. I'm on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern. I do have a guest tomorrow. I was trying to reach her because I was like, do I have to bump you for Michael Jackson tomorrow? If she remembers and she calls in, we'll talk about her stuff, but I am definitely going to give a big shout-out to Michael Jackson on tomorrow morning, so...
Great. Well, I'm so grateful that you called in and brought attention to something we really hadn't talked about that much, the dance aspect. You just can't deny the what a great dancer he was and what he brought to that. So
yeah.
I appreciate that. And we'll
encourage
people to check out your special on Michael tomorrow. And Christy, thanks so much for calling in today.
No problem. Have a great night. Thank you for doing this.
All right. My pleasure. You take care.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye. Well, we're going to take a deep breath for just a second because I think you guys have kind of worn out my my browser. It's spinning for the moment. So let me tell you, if you're on hold, area code 404, you're up next. And, I think my browser is working again. So we're going to go back to Atlanta, I think. Air code 404. I think this is someone who reached out to me through the web chat. Welcome to the special edition of Mr. Media.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Media Man. Great show and tribute to Michael Jackson. Great show.
Thanks, appreciate it. What do you want to share with us about Michael?
I had a couple of points I wanted to make right quick. I'm 41 years old, and I think I can speak for my generation. I think Michael's death over the last 30 years, if you compare the most poignant deaths of our time, I think you wouldn't be misled if you went Elvis Presley, Princess Diana, Michael Jackson. You can throw John Lennon in there, Tupac, Biggie, you know, a couple of those people in there. But I think those are the top three. And I think without question, man, you would probably put Michael up there with Elvis Presley. I saw some things in the chat room about, you know, Elvis Presley, who was the great, you know, through death, we really shouldn't even worry about that. But Michael, man, was in a league of his own. If you look at Elvis Presley, you know, great entertainer, not taking anything from Elvis Presley, you would have to rank Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson right there, one and two, whichever way you look at it. But one thing about Michael Jackson that separates him, it was just amazing how Michael Jackson could do a concert, you know, in the early years, then in the latter years, and then the most recent one I think was the one he did in New York City some years back. All of his concerts, they're the same format. Grown men falling out, grown men crying, women having to be taken out on stretchers. It's just, you don't see that with any other entertainer throughout their career. I mean, when Michael, as he got older, it was the same fan frenzy fanfare at his concerts, you know, people staking out his hotel rooms, and you've just never seen that with any other entertainment. And it's just truly amazing, and it shows you how it separates him from any other entertainer of our time. I mean it's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation. I mean, there's so many ways that, you know, you just cannot compare him to other people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you can't. And like the young lady we just called in, the dance steps, I'm a lot like you. I'm surprised we went 2 hours without even talking about the dance steps and the dance move and how innovative he was with that alone. I mean, it's truly incredible. Well, one thing I want to do before I get off, I don't want to hold up too much of your time. Big ups also this week to Mr. McMahon of the Tonight Show. Let's not forget about him and Farrah Fawcett. And keep Michael Jackson's family in your prayers, people. A lot of us will sit up and we'll bash Michael Jackson and we'll talk about, oh, he was weird, oh, he did this, oh, he did that. You know, it's easy for us to say that because our childhood wasn't taken from us at the age of 5 years old. You got to realize this man never had a childhood. He was thrust into the spotlight as an entertainer at the age of five. So I think any of us that was put in that situation, we might be a little wacky too, a little off and do some crazy things. But really seriously, give a prayer out to Joe Jackson. People can say what they want about Joe Jackson, but there would be no Jackson dynasty if it was not for Joe Jackson. Maybe his methods were a little extreme, but make no mistake about it, there would not be a Michael Jackson without Joe Jackson. And I'm really concerned about Joe Jackson at this point because we all know when you lose a loved one, especially, you know, your child, you know, grief sometimes can take the parent. And I just hope that Joe Jackson holds it together and really grief doesn't overcome him and he leaves it. So I just wanted to call in with that.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that's a really good point. You know, there's a lot that can be said about Joe, and you know, some of it's not so good. But I mean, as a parent, you don't want to outlive your child. There's no
exactly.
Whatever you want to say about Michael, I'm not here to say what's right or wrong, but
right.
Parents should just never outlive a child. It's just not right, and
exactly.
your feelings got to go out to all the family, and I appreciate that. And that's a good call. Thank you very much for calling in and sharing that. I'm glad you did.
Okay, great show, my man. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right, let me do a little business here. Folks, we had planned to go about 2 hours. We're going to extend that. There's so many people still very active in the web chat. I've got calls on hold. We've just freed up a line. If you do want to get in a call, 646-595-3135. We're going to go a little past midnight here on the East Coast, 9 o'clock on the West Coast. I don't know how much longer past midnight, but we'll go a little ways. I'm game if you're game, and I appreciate everybody who's calling in. I guess I want to take a minute and just let you know that this is Bob Andelman. I do host the Mr. Media Radio Show here on Blog Talk. Actually got three shows in the morning, all on comics and comic books. If you have an interest in that outside of Michael Jackson, I invite you to call and give a listen then if any of you get a good night's sleep. Right now I want to go to the 862 area code. We've got a caller who's been patiently waiting. Hi, welcome to the special edition of Mr. Media. 862, are you there? Okay.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, go. Yeah, hi. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I'm just a big fan of Michael Jackson. I can't believe he's gone.
It's pretty
very
startling,
sad.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I love the guy.
Where were you when you found out today? Where were you when you found out about him?
Yeah, I'm actually speaking through an interpreter, so you'll have to, you know, bear with us on the processing here. The voice you're hearing isn't actually mine. I'm using sign language. So,
I understand. No problem.
Yeah, cool. I was just shocked. Where was I?
Yeah. Yes.
I was actually, let me think, where was I? I think I was on the bus, and I was actually texting a friend of mine because I use a text pager. And then one of those text messages came through on my pager saying, you know, Michael Jackson died, you know, and I was kind of like, it's probably, what, 3 o'clock, I think, that first went out on the media?
Yeah, that might be right, yeah.
Yeah, my time. So.
What did you like the most about him? Yeah. What will you miss the most about Michael?
You know, it's funny because it's not like, you know, I'm deaf, so you might think it's kind of weird that I'm enjoying music, but I like music that's loud. I like music that's got a lot of rhythm and good beat to it. I'm more of the old rock, you know, 80s rock, even like 65, you know, way back then, some of that old stuff. I'm an older person, so I like the old stuff, you know, when it was loud and bassy.
Mm-hmm. Have you always been deaf?
Well, no, actually, I was born with hearing.
Ah.
And then let me think. I became deaf. I lost my hearing. I would have called myself hard of hearing for a while, and then eventually I kind of lost the words and stuff like that. But the deafer or the more hard of hearing I got, the louder the music got.
I can appreciate that. I'm actually about 60% deaf in one ear, so I understand.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I just think with
his music and everything, you know, if you turned it upright, you know, he had the ability to, you know, get some good rhythms going. And I just think he was the best one as far as visually a good entertainer. You could definitely feel like the beats in the background. Boy, back in my day, I bet we smoked up a little bit too while we were messing around with music. So, yeah.
Wow. Well, this is a unique way for me to communicate this with you. I'm so glad that you took the time to call.
Yeah, no problem. I like watching your show. You got a great show. Seriously.
Thank you.
I use the service, and, I mean, the fact that you are having something on here with Michael Jackson makes me really happy. Thanks for doing that.
Our pleasure. We very much appreciate you calling, and appreciate you tuning into us. And I hope you will again sometime.
Oh, I will.
All right. Thank you.
You guys
Thank
are still
going to
be talking about Michael Jackson yet, right? Tonight we'll stay on for a while.
Yeah, we're gonna stay on a little bit past midnight tonight. Yeah.
Excellent. Thanks.
All right. Have a great night, and thank you for calling in.
Sure.
All right.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. I tell you what we're going to do. I want to go back to our friends in Las Vegas who have been way, way too patient with me this evening. Sean and Mark, but I think first, if you guys will bear with me, Let's squeeze in one more Michael Jackson song. And I'll remind everybody, we're going to go past midnight here on the East Coast, 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Don't disappear on us. Let's see. How about, let's go with Wanna Be Starting Something, then we'll come back.
Thank you.
I just did all that with my microphone off. That was pretty good. So let's start over. Let me just get this out of this housekeeping out of the way. This is Bob Andelman. You're listening to a special edition of Mr. Media Radio. We're remembering Michael Jackson. And right now I want to bring on two very patient young guys, Mark P. and Sean Daly, who are out in Las Vegas. Hey, guys, welcome back.
Young Bob, I don't know about that. Thank you. Compliment. I graduated from high school in 84. It gets you a hint of my age. Anyway. But
I graduated in 78, so you're young to me, my friend.
There you go. a couple of celebrity comments along the way. Star Jones said, "Death comes to all, but great achievements build a monument. He is and was the greatest entertainer of all times. Peace to you, brother." And also Lisa Marie Presley, she released a statement saying, I'm so very sad and confused with every emotion possible. I'm heartbroken for his children, who I know were everything to him, and for his family. This is such a massive loss on so many levels. Words fail me," said Lisa Marie. So there you go.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And Mark, you've had plenty of time, and I apologize for that. But
yeah.
I imagine you've probably got a few more things you'd like to add now.
He's been such an influence, and I think that a lot of people have talked a lot about that as well. I think there would be no Weird Al Yankovic without Michael Jackson, and I think Michael really appreciated, what Weird Al did to his songs, even though they're parodies. But, Michael liked him enough to say, oh, yeah, you can do another song. So, and Chris Brown, Justin Timberlake, you can see all influences there. He's already impacted the world when it comes to music, even before his death. You can see influences in a bunch of different artists. And tell you the truth, James Brown basically influenced a lot of Michael's dancing as well, if you look back as well. So it's kind of one of those things where the torch is being passed when it comes to dancing and R&B singing and all that too. And it's quite interesting that there was a little bit of debate about the idea of Elvis, and Michael Jackson, of course, the comparisons. There's a lot of comparisons that can be made today about the two, how they die was
Mark?
Very mysterious.
Sean?
Yes, hello.
Hello, Bobby there?
Yeah, still here. I apologize. I don't know what happened. Please, you
were
saying about Michael
lady?
And Elvis.
Did the British lady chime in, Bob?
I didn't hear it, but I've been hearing from callers for weeks that they keep hearing something, and they wonder if they're still on the air. So all of my tech friends who are listening tonight, we got to work on that. But anyway, go ahead. You were talking about Michael and Elvis.
Yeah, there's comparisons about that in the room, and is Elvis better than Michael and Michael better than Elvis? Well, obviously they were both big superstars. I think Michael has reached a lot more people than Elvis, and that's not for lack of Elvis's trying. I think it's just the technology came out that he's become bigger and he's been able to, be able to get more fans across the world. The access to his music has become increasingly huge, and as well. And we were also talking a little bit about his finances and the idea that he may have possibly been broke when he died. But I think those rights, they still own some rights to some of the music. So I assume that his kids will be receiving some of those rights as payment. So they'll be all right coming up the next couple of years as well. I think the rights to all of his songs and especially the marketing that's been going on, because if you see the Beatles catalog, it's just been, is huge by leaps and bounds when it comes to money. So I think that's something that that's going to be, definitely something that the kids can live off of once they grow up. I'm kind of interested to see who gets guardianship of the kids. I have no absolute clue who that would be. But we all wish the best for his kids.
Yeah, that's a very interesting issue. Where do those kids go? And I'm sorry, I can't remember the first woman's name who gave birth to, I guess, two of the kids, right? And she didn't.
Yeah, the nurse from Indiana, right?
I somehow don't see her as being terribly interested in the job, and I don't know. Judging from what people have had to say tonight, I don't think anyone's going to be voting for Joe Jackson to become the the Guardian. I'm sure Michael must have taken good care of his kids in his will and in terms of, you know, having preparation. Of course, you know, he wouldn't be the first 50-year-old who didn't have a will for some reason, who just thought he was going to live forever. And so, you know, I hope that he thought that out and that, you know, that's been taken care of. And because those kids are going to have a rough time, let's face it. You know, it'd be a tough life to be the child of a celebrity, and an especially tough life to be the child of Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. Well, because when those kids get old, I don't know how old they are now, but, you know, they're getting a point they could read, they could, you know, go on the Internet, so somebody should, hopefully in the family, could sit those kids down and maybe tell them, you know, tell them all this stuff before they find out on their own. Another thing to consider, I don't want to get morbid, but the burial, it's, assuming there is a burial, I'm not sure, where will he go? Will he be buried in California, in L.A., or will he be buried back in Indiana? I'd say he'd probably be buried in L.A., but and you got to wonder what kind of arrangements. I mean, that grave is going to be, you know, bombarded with people, I'm sure, coming to visit him. You know, so a lot of things to be determined yet by the family. So they got their work cut out for him over these next whatever days they have to plan all this.
I wouldn't rule out Dubai myself.
Really? Wow.
Well, listen, he got a lot of money from there. He you know, when he was having trouble here, he disappeared to Dubai for a while. You know, who knows? There may be some sheiks ready to help him out. Go ahead, Mark.
I was going to say maybe it might be a situation where he is they actually burn the body, consume the body, and burn it, and you know, they make some kind of museum or some kind of memorial to him. I think there's enough stuff out there that they could do that as well. But we'll see in the coming weeks.
Do you think anybody think that his former property? Oh my God, what can I think of what it's called?
Neverland.
It's been a long evening here. Neverland. Does anyone think that Neverland might become like Graceland and become a tourist spot?
I thought that was it was taken off his hands. There's supposedly a deal cooking between him and I think the CEO of Colony Resorts, who owns the Las Vegas Hilton. Apparently, there's some deal that whoever that is took over the ranch there. And I'm not sure what the deal was, but then also because there's rumors that when we lost the Star Trek The Experience here at the Hilton, that was going to go away to make room for a Michael Jackson performance theater. But maybe because health reasons or whatever, or rumors were that the Hilton couldn't get insurance for Michael Jackson, and that deal stalled. But I thought the Neverland Ranch was off his hands, Mark.
Well,
and Bob, what do you think?
I mean, I have heard rumors that, you know, that Brad and Angelina were interested in the Netherland Ranch and that they were going to buy it. I hadn't heard of anything about an official sale of it or if there was anything. I'm looking up the information as we speak right now. Because it's in foreclosure by now. It's in foreclosure officially, so he doesn't necessarily own it. Here we go. On May 12th, a foreclosure auction for the ranch was canceled after investment company Colonial Capital purchased the loan. Jackson was in default, $24.5 million owned 2,500-acre property. In a press release, Jackson stated, "I am pleased with the recent developments involving Neverland Ranch, and I'm in discussions with Colony and Tom Barrick in regards to the ranch and other matters that allow me to focus on my future." So by the sounds of, let's see, oh, no, wait a second, here's another one here. November 11, 2008, Jackson transferred the title to Sycamore Valley Ranch Company, LLC, and neighbors reported immediate activity on the property, including the removal of the amusement rides. Jackson still owned an unknown stake in the property. So he owns part of the property. He doesn't own all of it, by what I'm reading. So whoever the Sycamore group is, they own part of it as well. So I don't know. Maybe I think if Sycamore is smart enough, which I think they are, I'd say that, you know, now that he has died, that they do exactly that. They make it a, you know, just like Graceland. I think that Elvis's widow did great on that. So
Priscilla,
and maybe It may be the most valuable piece of property in California right now.
Mm. Amazing, amazing. One more comment. Dionne Warwick, where's her comment? No, I just had it. Dionne Warwick has chimed in. She says, we have lost an icon in our industry, and my heartfelt condolences go out to his family and children in this hour of sorrow that they are now going through. He will live on in my memory and most definitely through the music he shared with so many, said Dionne Warwick, singer and Jackson. And then just now, my flash, Schwarzenegger, the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, he said Michael was a pop phenomenon who never stopped pushing the envelope of creativity. Though there were serious questions about his personal life, Michael was undoubtedly a great entertainer, and his popularity spanned generations and the globe. Once again, it's Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. I don't know if that little kind of a comment about his personal life was called for, but you know, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, he's a politician now, so I guess that explains it, right?
No, I think that's probably a part of it, yeah. I think so. Well, I think we're going to wrap up here. I think we've probably, I know I'm getting a little punchy on my end. And Mark and Sean, first of all, thank you guys for coming in early and coming in late and being quite patient and great contributors to this effort tonight. I appreciate your time and thanks for being here for us.
Thank you, Bob. There was no better choice across Blog Talk Radio than you to do this tonight. Perfect balance of compassion and also information. Congratulations. Fantastic job.
Thank you. So then you probably don't want me to bring up Captain EO at this point, right?
No, thanks. I was on that. And I'm still looking for my refund.
Oh, my God.
I got to reiterate as well that, Bob, that you did a great job tonight. I think that everybody in the chat room also appreciated the fact that the show went on, and we had some great experiences in the chat room that everybody remembers of Michael, and it was great for yourself and Blog Talk to kind of get this arranged.
Great. Well, guys, thank you very much for being here tonight. I appreciate it, and get some rest.
I'll try my best there, Bob.
All right. Good night, Mark. Good night, Sean.
Good night, Bob.
Bye-bye. Well, I took some time before the show started tonight to just write out some general thoughts to get started. I didn't really think ahead to the end of the show, so I don't really have any really sharp thoughts to leave you with, except that it's been a shocking day, I think, for all of us, starting with the loss of Farrah Fawcett this morning, Michael Jackson this afternoon, and then we can go back, and a couple of people mentioned the loss of Ed McMahon from The Tonight Show. I think that was yesterday. Maybe it was the day before. I've kind of lost track right now. But it's been a heck of a week. You know, I think it reminds us to value the people around us, whether, you know, it's family or friends or just people that we admire, and, you know, treat each day like it could be the last, unfortunately. Thanks so much for tuning in. We had a remarkable listenership tonight. I want to thank everybody who listened. I want to thank everybody in the web chat for participating. It was a lively discussion, unlike anything I've seen, and I appreciate that. I want to thank so many people who called in, friends of mine, Eric Deggans, reporter Jonah Carey called in, Mark P. Called in, Sean Daly, we just got a phone with, Kevin Ross, Mother of Mother Knows, Fran from Get Off Your Assets, Chatterbox Christy. There are a couple callers who I did not know but called in. I appreciate you. And thank you all. And let's go out with some music, kind of the way we came in. This is a long one. Naturally, I'm having trouble now with the browser, right? Just when I want to play a little music. Bear with me a second, and we'll go to some music from Michael. Again, this is Bob Andelman. I host Mr. Media Radio, a kind of a staple here on Blog Talk. Hope you've come by and join us on a day when a little happier. Just as soon as this thing releases, I'm going to play a little music for you, and we'll go out that way. So hang on. Here we go. Thanks, everybody.
You got me in a state of shock. Look at that.